The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us on this edition of Grace in Focus. Today we've got a question from a listener just like you. If you've got a question, you can send it to us. Hop on your computer or your device and zap it to us through email. That's radio@faithalone.org. Here's the question that Bob and Sean are going to tackle today. Can a person be saved who rejects the Nicene Creed? Let's see what they have to say about that. This is Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
This is from Marcus. All right, and Marcus says, can a person be saved if they reject or don't believe everything in the Nicene Creed? And I'm just reading over the Nicene Creed, and it really doesn't say anything about believing in Jesus for eternal salvation. It says, you know, I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things are made. And I can give you Bible verses for almost all those claims. I don't have any problem with any of that. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. And that's pretty much as close as it gets to, but it doesn't really even say, you know, what kind of salvation Jesus gives.
Well, it doesn't even use the word salvation, does it?
For us men and for our salvation.
Oh, for our salvation.
He came down from heaven. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, suffered death and was buried, rose again the third day, ascended into heaven. I'm just kind of skipping over here.
Right.
To judge the living and the dead, his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. Blah, 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 blah. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins.
Yeah, we don't believe in baptism for the forgiveness of sins.
Sorry that the Nicene Creed gets that wrong. But it doesn't even mention, and of course it talks about, I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church, which what the Nicene Creed means, I mean, it was developed by the, some would say the Orthodox Church in 325. So I think they get the church wrong. Evangelicals cannot confess this and say, I'm just going to import my Baptistic or Pentecostal or Brethren understanding of Catholic Church at this point. That's not what the framers of this creed meant.
Right.
They meant the visible church that is when you are in communion with a bishop who is in apostolic succession with the apostles. So unless you're in the Orthodox or the Catholic Church, you do not believe what the framers of the Nicene Creed believed at this point. But anyways.
Okay, so you've just answered Marcus' question from this standpoint. If a person rejects at least some of the Nicene Creed, can they be born again? The answer is yes. In fact, some parts of the Nicene Creed, you know, if you embraced it wholeheartedly, seemingly you would therefore hold to Roman Catholic or Orthodox soteriology.
Right.
The idea that we begin the Christian life by infant baptism, then we continue in the Christian life by being obedient, confessing our sins, going to the priest, taking communion, that's a necessary way, and then last rites when we're dying, and all those things are tied into it. So in a sense, unless you reject parts of the Nicene Creed, you're not believing in Jesus for the free gift of eternal life.
So when it says here, I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, that means, as per the framers of the creed, this is baptismal regeneration for salvation. You get baptized in water as a baby, and you get regenerated, and you get some type of temporal salvation. And that's not what baptism is, that's not what baptism does, and that's not what kind of salvation that Jesus gives.
Right. You know, the problem with it is there's probably 50 different major theological points in that confession.
Right.
And not a single one of them is justification by faith alone.
Exactly. Now, is Jesus true God from true God?
Sure.
Yeah. Is he the Lord? Yes. Did he get crucified under Pontius Pilate? Absolutely. Virgin born? Yes. Rose again the third day? Absolutely. Is he going to come to judge the living and the dead? Yes, but we would say, you know, there's
two separate judgments.
There's at least two separate judgments. His kingdom will have no end? Absolutely. But for us, this is a literal kingdom on earth that'll continue on to the new earth.
Right.
Whereas I think for them, it's like a spiritual amillennial type kingdom.
Right, right.
So I would have to disagree with the Nicene Creed probably there too, unless you let me just take what they say out of context and I get to interpret it in my own small B Baptist dispensational type way,
right,
which would be dishonest.
You know, the real question is, how much of the Nicene Creed is reflected in John 3:16?
Yeah.
Or put the other way, does the Nicene Creed say anything about whoever believes in the Son of God, whoever believes in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, has everlasting life and will never perish? There's nothing in there about that, is there?
I mean, I don't see John 3:16 in here.
Or anything about it.
Or anything related to it.
So if the question is, can a person believe the promise of everlasting life by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ apart from works, and yet not believe everything in the Nicene Creed, the answer is yes. On the other hand, you could definitely believe the entire Nicene Creed and reject the free gift of everlasting life.
Yeah, you could think the faith alone message is heresy, as I'm pretty sure the framers of this creed did think. They thought it was heresy. They would have said that eternal security
was... Well, we need to know what it is we need to believe. Diane Boring, who's a friend of ours, she's listened to a lot of messages by Zane Hodges, and what she's taken is, what is the bullseye we're aiming for when we're evangelizing someone? Her point is, the bullseye is that Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, guarantees everlasting life that can never be lost to all who simply believe in him for that salvation, for that life. There's lots of things we teach people to get them to believe that.
Yeah.
And those points are found in the Nicene Creed, at least the correct parts of the Nicene Creed.
Yeah, I mean, that Jesus died on the cross for sin, that he rose again from the dead, that he was with God in the beginning and he is God, like Thomas says in John 20:28, my Lord and my God. All those are reasons for you to believe him when he says that whoever believes in him has everlasting life.
Right.
That's evidence for you to believe in him for everlasting life.
But that's not the same as saying, if you believe that, you believe the promise of everlasting life.
Right.
Because Roman Catholics and Eastern Orthodox are orthodox on many, many points of doctrine.
But they get salvation wrong.
That means, by the way, that when you're talking to an Orthodox or a Roman Catholic, you can use those points of commonality to talk to them. You can say, because we know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose bodily from the dead, therefore, that says something about his promise in John 3:16. And you can ask them, how do you understand John 3:16?
Right.
And they're going to give their explanation. You're going to go, but is that really a fair explanation of what Jesus doesn't say anything here about being baptized. He doesn't say anything here about being part of your church.
Right.
He doesn't say anything about needing to persevere in faith and good works. He just says, whoever believes in him will not perish, but has everlasting life.
Right.
And then you can even ask them, are you open to the fact that you could be wrong about your view of what a person must do to be saved?
Right.
If you're open to that, why don't we pray about it?
Right, absolutely.
And ask God to show you, and then you start reading John's gospel.
Yeah.
So you can use these things in our favor, because Jesus said concerning a man he was dealing with, you know, you're not far from the kingdom of God. Well, it seems to me people who are Roman Catholic or Eastern Orthodox, if they're open, they may not be far. They have a lot of the underpinnings that lead them in the right direction.
Right. Here's the thing. I mean, go to the scriptures. You can't go to these traditions. They're just traditions. Go to the source. Go to the scriptures. And that's where you're going to get your answers. Be a biblicist. It kind of gets on my nerves that a lot of evangelicals quote these church fathers and quote these Orthodox and Roman Catholic councils as if they have a right to quote those things, even if they don't belong to those churches. And the only way they do that is by totally misrepresenting what these original councils actually meant by what they said. And I just find that it's dishonest, it's bad hermeneutics, and it's probably often reflected in how they also interpret the Bible. It's like, you have to interpret something according to the author's original intent. You can't twist it to mean whatever you want it to.
Not just the Bible, but even
anything,
the creeds.
Anything, right, any book, any document. You can't twist it just to make it fit.
Well, in fact, that's been happening with the U.S. Constitution, right?
Oh, that's another great example. Are you going to be an originalist, or are you going to believe in a so-called living constitution, which just means whatever you want it to mean, whatever's politically expedient to mean?
I have a quick example from what you're talking about, and I've mentioned it on the show before, but it bears repeating. S. Lewis Johnson was a famous New Testament scholar at Dallas Seminary who left about 2 years before I got there. I got there in 78. I think he left in 76. S. Lewis Johnson commented on the Lordship Salvation debate between John MacArthur and Zane Hodges, absolutely free. And so in the early 90s, S. Lewis Johnson wrote an article, and he began the article by talking about these two men and their different views, and he said, we need some sort of reference point that we can all agree upon, and I think we can all agree that the Westminster Confession of Faith is the standard of our beliefs.
Oh, man.
And so I'm going to compare MacArthur and Hodges to the Westminster Confession of Faith.
And by the way, that Confession of Faith is, an 18th century Presbyterian document, basically?
Yeah.
I believe. I thought it was 1700s. Maybe it's 1600s.
I thought it was 1649
right.
or whatever.
So maybe it's a 17th century Presbyterian document. But anyways, I'm not Presbyterian. Are,
yeah,
are
no,
you?
I'm not.
And I'm not Calvinist. Are you?
Mm-mm.
I'm not Reformed.
No.
Are you? So how on earth, I mean, how could he have said, everyone in the room, well, we all agree that this old Presbyterian document is our, especially at a dispensational school. That's crazy.
Right.
Did he really say that?
Yeah. Well, this was an article he wrote. I don't think it was for DTS. I think it was something he wrote for Christianity Today.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it was for that. I can't recall. People can look it up.
But he eventually left DTS, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he left in 76.
Okay, so at least
this
he was
years after he'd left.
Oh, okay. Well, then, no, maybe he was writing to his audience then, to his Presbyterian audience, in which case you can appeal to a statement by
except
that.
His church wasn't Believer's Chapel, I believe was the name of his church, and it was an independent Bible church. So he wasn't exactly Presbyterian as far as I can tell.
Well,
he became a five-point Calvinist, and when he did, he stepped down at Dallas Seminary.
Well, all of this just illustrates why you should just go to the Bible. Go to the Bible. Don't appeal to human authorities or traditions. Don't get your theology from those places. Get them from the Bible. Check everything. Sola Scriptura.
Only right? The Scriptures.
Only the Scriptures. All right, thanks for the question, Marcus. I'm sure that was a controversial answer. If you have follow-up questions, you know where to send them, radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about the difference between Hades and Gehenna, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.